على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكتاب الحميد والفرقان المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Respected elders, brothers and dear friends, as we all aware that this particular world that me and you are living in is just a phase and it has to come to an end. This is one of the stations until we are taken to the final abode, and that is left up to man. It is between two. There's no third option. It is either paradise or hell. It is either Jannah or Jahannam. As far as this particular world is concerned, being temporary, it is a world of tests, trials and tribulations. As far as the believers is concerned, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, Ad-dunya sijn, that this particular world is like a jail for the believers and it is paradise for the disbelievers. And this paradise is temporary, it's worldly. The actual paradise that man should strive for is everlasting. That is eternal. That success is eternal. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah speaks of eternal success for the believers. And this world that we speak of, when we speak of tests and trials, we're all going to be put through that. Yes, sometimes it's health, sometimes it's through finance, financial difficulties, social problems, political problems, but we're all going to be put through it. Many of us sometimes, we feel the more we turn to Allah, probably the pathway will be more easier, not necessarily. One companion came to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who went through the most difficulties? What was his reply? أَشَدُّ النَّاسُ الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. The most difficulties anybody went through were the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Yet if you look at the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, they were handpicked by Allah, they were masoom, they were the chosen servants of Allah, yet they went through the most difficulties. And those that adapt their lifestyle, and those that adapt their lifestyle, or those that were close to the Anbiya, and those that were close to those that were close to the Anbiya. So it does not necessarily mean that when you abide to the commands of Allah, your laws, your rules, your ways, the constitution is the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, life is made easy. No. People will be put through more tests. But when we go through these difficulties, if we follow the guidelines and the teachings of the Quran, how to confront it, it strengthens our iman. We become closer to Allah. That is why, you know, sometimes we would learn that certain difficulties is a blessing in disguise. And sometimes certain difficulties is a means of punishment. Now how do we know that when there's a calamity or difficulty that befalls upon us, whether it is a blessing in disguise or whether it is a punishment. Simple. Take this as a yardstick, as a measuring instrument. Any problem or difficulties that brings man closer to Allah is a blessing in disguise. And any difficulty that we are confronted with takes us away from Allah, it is a means of punishment. Now, if you take the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the past. He spoke of the present, that is when revelation took place during the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to receive revelation and wahi, and Allah speaks of the future. When we speak of the past, most of the incidents are not just mere stories, but it is there a lesson that, oh man, if you go through these difficulties, this prophet went through it, or this particular nation went through this type of punishment due to certain actions and circumstances, abstain from it. It is all lessons for me and you. And now when we're speaking of difficulties, let us go through one beautiful incident which Allah makes mention in the Holy Quran as well. And that is the incident of Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through such tests that today if man says that I cannot bear certain difficulties, look at this incident. And that should inspire me and you. What was the difficulties he went through? A great prophet. The progeny of Yaqub alayhi salam. Allah blessed him with a wife who was amongst the direct descendants of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. A man that had knowledge, a man that was wise, a man that Allah blessed with the worldly treasures as well. People from all walks of life would come to him for advices, sit in his company, benefit from his wisdom. If it was anything to do with wealth, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam was readily there to aid and assist them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the servant of his through a great test. He had lots of land, fields, farms, cattle. Disaster came about and everything was destroyed. When he came to wealth, he lost everything. People would ask him, "Oh Ayyub alayhi salam, your reaction, nothing." He says, "All that was a trust from Allah. When Allah wanted it back, he took it back." Came the second test. When Allah put a test for those that are close to him, his own family members. At that particular time, in one narration, he had 14 children. 7 sons and 7 daughters. And all in their home, when all of a sudden the roof collapses and every single child of his passed away. 14 children at once. Ask those parents that have lost one child. It could be 20 years, but up till today they haven't recovered. You won't understand. They will even tell you, losing your own child, it's not an easy thing. It is very difficult. Ayyub alayhi salam loses 14 children at once. Wallahi, his reaction when asked, "What is your reaction?" He says, "Oh Allah, you know best. It was from you that you sent them as an amanah to me. And when you felt it's best to take them back, and probably it's better you have taken back because I was becoming attached to them. I feared that probably this attachment would have taken me away from your remembrance." What a reply. What a beautiful reply. He is successful in the second test. Now comes the final test, the third test. When it comes to oneself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled a sickness upon Ayyub alayhi salam. Some call it abscess, some call it boils, whatever it might be. And it started spreading to his entire body. It started eating through the skin and flesh. There were many places on the body of Ayyub alayhi salam where a person could see the bones of Ayyub alayhi salam. Only two organs were at his optimum and was safeguarded from this. One was his heart and one was his tongue. So sick was he that he became bedridden. He had no energy. He couldn't do any work. The same people that would come and flock for advisors and learn from him and seek guidance are the same ones that now banished him. They told him, get out. Alas, that sickness might be contagious. Everybody turned their backs against Ayyub alayhi salam, excepting one person, and that was his wife. His wife's name, Rahma. How apt it is that that particular quality of mercies was manifested by her. Rahma. She stood beside Ayyub alayhi salam. Today, first we used to look a few decades back. Where the disbelievers, in front of everyone, would display their love and affection. Hold hands, hug one another in front of public. But at night when they're in their homes, ask the neighbors how much screaming and swearing and pots and pans flying around. It is all there just cosmetic. And then when they become old, and when the husband loses his job or he's retrenched, the wife feels now, I'm no more going to be living that luxurious life. So she decides she wants a divorce. She would go for somebody that has more wealth. If the wife is sickly because now she's old, the husband feels, I don't need her anymore. He separates and he gets another woman that can probably move around with him. And this is the beauty of deen. If when Allah speaks of love between couples in the Quran, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. It is such a love which Allah specifically describes only between husband and wife. And what is meant here, we're not going into the commentary, but mawadda means genuine love. Now when a person marries, it's more in the youth, so that love grows. And as you become old, love diminishes. So Allah says, wa rahma. Now is the time to be merciful towards one another. She lived with you, he lived with you for 20 years, 30 years. Now you get tired of one another. Why? Now you must be a pillar of support. As rahma to one another, as a mercy to one another. Now we get tired. Now we want to change, you know, our wives, divorce them. How many 60, 70 year old men getting divorced? Tired of his wife. Old ladies that now cannot tolerate their husbands, they're too old. Because now she has to serve them. So she rather goes for somebody that is younger. This is not Islam. This is where now rahmah should come about. And this is where Ayyub alayhi salam's wife stood beside Ayyub alayhi salam. She used to go and clean the homes of the people of the town and whatever earnings was there to see to the well-being of her husband. At that particular time, Ayyub alayhi salam was already 7 or 8 years ill. Not once did he make dua and ask Allah for Shifa, for cure. One day Rahma, the wife, comes to Ayyub alayhi salam and says, oh my beloved person, you are the messenger of Allah. It is just for you to raise your hands and ask Allah to cure you, and Allah will cure you. Your call will not be unheard. Ayyub alayhi salam becomes angry and he says to his wife, oh Rahma, for how long am I sick? She says, for 7 years. He says, oh Rahma, How long did Allah grant me good and sound health? She says, 8 years. Ayyub alayhi salam says, oh Rahmah, should I be ungrateful? When Allah gave me 80 years of good health, only 7 or 8 years of illness, now I must turn to Him, should I be that ungrateful? Where's 80 years of good health? Only 7 years of illness. Look at that, they're thinking. It reached a stage where now Rahmah should go and work and clean people's homes so that whatever little she should get, it was to now see to the well-being of her husband. The people started saying, no, stop employing Rahmah. Do not let her work for you. For probably that illness that Ayyub alayhi salam has, that germ or disease might be in her. And if by her working in our homes, it can spread and we can be affected as well. So everybody stopped. Test comes again. A person, that is shaitan, comes in the form of a well-being, a very concerned, as a medical personnel, comes to Rahmah and says, I believe your husband is sick and this is his sickness. I give guarantee, that if you take me to your husband and you allow me to treat him, he will be cured. Guaranteed. But there's only one condition. And what is that condition? The condition is, you must just tell people that this person, that is me, I cured your husband. At that particular time, Rahmah, anything she can hold on to, she wants to see her husband healthy and being cured. Ask those that are terminally ill, whether it's fourth stage cancer or whatever it might be, after trying everything that was to their disposal, if somebody tells them even to take some dishwashing liquid and drink it, they might even try that because they're frustrated. They will even try it. Rahmah got happy. She goes to Ayyub alayhi salam, husband who is bedridden, who cannot even get up, does not have any energy, and says, oh my beloved husband, you will be cured. There's somebody that has given me guarantee and certainty you'll be cured. Ayyub alayhi salam becomes angry. And he says, Rahmah, who told you this? She explains. He says, wallahi, this is shirk. How can man give certainty and guarantee they're going to cure me? Sickness comes from Allah, cures comes from Allah. Man is just a means. He became so angry. At that time, he says to Rahmah, now if I'm cured, I'm going to lash you 100 times. That means 100 lashes. Now comes the final test. In the narration, there's 2 reasons. One reason is, Ayyub alayhi salam, his old friends. And I'm stressing again, those that were close to him, 2 of his old friends. You see, when Ayyub alayhi salam had health, when he had wealth, when he was fine, everybody wanted to associate themselves with Ayyub alayhi salam. But once he became sick, he lost all his wealth, now you don't need him. So now you forget the person. This is today's world. As long as you got something, people will be your friends, and they all want to be close to you. But tomorrow when you don't have it, the same people will turn their backs against you. This dunya is matlabi. There's no genuine friendship, illa mashallah, excepting for few. So these 2 friends, old friends, they started saying to one another, Ayyub must have committed a major sin that he's being punished by Allah. When Ayyub alayhi salam heard this, he couldn't take it anymore. And in another narration, that at that particular time, now nobody wanted to employ his wife Rahmah. And now how is she going to see to the needs of her husband to feed him and so forth? She had nothing and no other option, but she cut part of her hair, made it and tied it. It was like a rope. She went to the bazaar and sold it to those travelers that would come, the businessmen, and they should use it as a rope to tie their goods. She came with the food. And she presented it to Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam said, where did you get the money from? She says, Ayyub alayhi salam ate the food. The next day, thinking something will come her way, and nothing has come again, she had to cut the rest of her hair and sell it. This time when she brought the food, Ayyub alayhi salam asked, I'm not going to eat till you don't tell me where you got this from. She removed the covering only for him to realize that his wife cut her hair to sell that hair so that he can be nourished and taken care of. Allahu Akbar. At that particular time, now the words come. What a beautiful dua. Wa ayyuba idh nada rabbahu anni massani ad-durr wa anta arhamur rahim. Ayyub alayhi salam calls out to Allah. He does not say, oh Allah, I am sick, grant me shifa. No. He says, oh Allah, this is what has transpired and what I'm going through, it is the work of shaitan. In one ayat, anni massani ash-shaytan. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful of all mercifuls. That means, oh Allah, you know my condition. He's not saying, oh Allah, this is my condition, grant me cure. You the one that grants sickness, give me shifa. No. He says, oh Allah, this what has happened is through shaitan. You are the most merciful of all mercifuls. You know my plight. Whatever you feel is best for me, let it happen. Revelation comes. Ayyub, urkud birizlik. Take your leg and stamp it onto the ground. From there, water gushes. هَذَا مُخْتَسَلٌ بَارِدُ وَشَرَابٌ. He's commanded now, bathe in that water and drink of that water. And as he bathes in that water, alhamdulillah, his body now begins to recover, where the flesh was also removed and you could see his bones. Flesh began to grow, the skin, everything was fine. And as he drank the water, his internal organs all started now functioning at its optimum now. At its optimum. In one riwayat, now he's given the dress from paradise and he's sitting on the rock, and from a distance he sees his wife. Probably she went around looking for, you know, food or something to help, to aid her husband. And as she came close, she saw this man sitting on the rock. And she says to him, did you see my husband? A man that was sickly, that couldn't even stand up. He was lying here. And then she looks at his face and she says, you're the only person that got some resemblance of my husband. At that particular time, Ayyub says, Rahma, this is Ayyub. This is your husband. He says, yes. Are you Ayyub? He says, Naam, I'm Ayyub. Allah gave her 18 years of, because 18 years he went through this test, 18 years of hers was erased. That means she was given her 18 years back, that her youth, her beauty, or whatever it might be. Now, if we can recall in it, we said that when he got angry, when shaitan tried to persuade them that he's going to cure. And what did he say? When I'm cured, I'm going to lash you 100 times. A prophet can never break his promise. He took a promise, he took a qasam. Because if a prophet lies and goes against his promise, what those disciples and the followers, he should be an example. But in the same token, how can he lash the person, the only person that stood besides him? That is unfair. Allahu Akbar, divine intervention comes. وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ دِغْثًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ. They say, oh Ayyub, you are a prophet. You cannot break your promise. You have to lash your wife, Rahma, 100 times. But how should you lash her that you should not even hurt her? Take 100 blades of grass, make it into one bundle and hit her once. She won't even feel it. You have fulfilled your promise and she won't feel hurt as well. Subhanallah. After that, Allah restored his wealth. He became even wealthier. The 14 children, 7 sons and 7 daughters that Allah took away, Allah blessed him now with 14 sons and 14 daughters, 28 children. And the wisdom that Allah blessed him was even greater. People came from all over just to benefit from him. These were the tests and trials. It's not a story. It's a lesson for me and you. We go through difficulties. We are going to go through difficulties. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Different ways. Through hunger, through fear, through loss of lives, through loss of orchards, fruit, and so forth. وَبَشِّرِينَ to those that are who? Patient. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. That is why Ayyub alayhi salam was known as the symbol of patience. Because of that, he was known as نِعْمَ الْعَبْد, the best of servants. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, whatever difficulties they are, as individuals, as families, as communities, as the ummah at large, may Allah remove all difficulties. And inshallah, if there's any difficulties, let it be a means that our status are being elevated, our sins are being forgiven. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercies upon us, inshallah. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana, anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.